Rich here, serving with the Department of Defense, trying to keep our nation free. A big shout out to Rob, my favorite host, for his accurate and insightful information about everything that makes the New York Giants the great team that they are. Can't wait for the next podcast. Keep it up.
All right, what's going on, everyone? Rob with Everything NYG here. Today I have a very special guest and a close friend of mine. He's helped me get to where I am in a lot of different ways. John Fennelly with Giants Wire, and he's a part of the USA Today. John, how's it going, man?
Good, Rob. It's a pleasure to be on your show, and congratulations. Your show's doing very well, and I wish you a lot of success.
I appreciate that, guy. I mean, this guy, literally, he had me on his shows, and he helped me find a love for this, and, you know, so I thank him a lot for getting me on here, and I brought him on here today. He has extensive knowledge on a lot of different teams, a lot of different groups. He's writing for the MLB right now. But, you know, I do Giants. We know that. So I want to talk about the coaching staff. And we finally got a head coach that is able to bring in his own staff. And it looks like it's a pretty good one. What do you think about it so far?
I really like what they've done. I think that starting with Joe Judge, he's a first-time head coach. But he's got a good pedigree. I mean, you know, coming from the New England system, it's not always a selling point because, you know, a lot of those New England guys, those Belichick disciples, haven't done well. But he also worked under Nick Saban. Yep. And, of course, Saban and Belichick are good friends. They go back many years. But when you get a guy cut from that cloth, he captured the hearts of the Giants when he interviewed.
Oh my
came
God,
in the building
yeah,
and he just blew them away. And at his press conference, you know, he was totally in control. And I was like, wow, this is a man. This is a real guy. Even though he's 38 years old, he's been around. You know, he knows how to win. He knows the way, and the way he talked, and the way he said he was going to handle players and situations. He owned that room. He owned it. And
yeah, I mean, all
really
the former
knew who
Giants.
He was until they hired.
Yeah, all the former Giants were there looking at him, and they said it makes him. It reminds them of the old coaching staff they're a part of, and that's a big deal, you know, for a guy that's only 38 years old. He just turned 38, and the guy's been a part of 5 championships: 2 in college, 3 in the NFL. To be 38 and get your first head coaching job with 5 championships under your belt, Nick Saban, right. Bill Belichick. It's amazing, especially where he came from. It's amazing.
I'm going to tell you who he reminded me, a little bit of Bill Parcells, a little bit. I mean, Bill Parcells is, I think, a little bit more full of himself, a little more arrogant. And I'll tell you that personally. Bill is all about Bill sometimes, but he reminded me a little bit of like a Vince Lombardi, a guy who stands up there. This is my job. I'm taking control. You're going to listen to what I have to say.
Yep. I loved it.
And he was believable. Every word that came out of his mouth, he wasn't unprepared. No matter what they said to him, you know, they tried to take it, you know, try to divert him on different tracks. He wouldn't bite.
Nope.
I mean, this is a focused guy. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the biggest thing that I saw, you know, we just saw 2 days ago, the Elijah Penny was, and don't get me wrong, a lot of this is Gettleman, but obviously I think he's going to have a huge say in it. Elijah Penny, I get why they did that, but I think the David Mayo at $2.4 million a year, that just goes to show that he's not kidding when he said he wants to start a clean slate, but he's going to keep the guys that are valuable. And I mean, Mayo was a guy that was so underrated. And you can't tell me that that Joe Judge didn't come in here. It was like, look, we're not going to lose another linebacker. We need one of them. You know, it's great.
Well, a guy
to see.
who was productive like Mayo. Mayo was around the ball, and that's what you need. Your linebackers, this is the way I judge a defense, and you know this.
Yep.
When there's 3 or 4 guys around the ball, it's a good defense. And when you're not a good defense, there's 1 or 2 guys around the ball. And that's what the Giants have been the last couple of years, that 1 or 2 guys around the ball.
On a good day. Yeah.
On a good day. So that's how you judge a defense. People go through all these analytics, like my father said, God rest his soul. Do they get to the ball, and do they stop the guy with the ball, you know, before he gets too far? And that's so fundamental and basic.
Yeah.
And that's something that David Mayo was able to do.
Yeah, Mayo, he was number two. And like I said, you guys know how I feel about PFF. I know a lot of people don't like him. I get it. You have your opinion. He was the number two rated linebacker in the NFL for run stop percentage.
Well, it's not that
that's a big feat.
It's not that I don't like PFF. I don't understand the way they grade.
Yeah, I finally, on my last episode, I had a guy on here with me, Ben, and we broke it down. So maybe that'll give you a little bit of understanding. It's a confusing system, but it does make sense if you break it down. But it's odd. But that's where he sat, number two for run stop percentage.
And rightfully so. He passed the eye test, like I said.
Yeah.
And if you look at his statistic, I think he started like 12 games or something, and he had just as many, almost led the team in tackles with 12 games.
Yeah, he played great. I mean, Dave Gettleman drafted him in Carolina. I think he was a fifth-round pick. Gettleman was the GM for Carolina at the time. Yes. He drafted him. And then he was with the 49ers, I believe, on the practice squad and got cut, and that's when we signed him.
Yeah, and that's a deep linebacking crew in San Francisco. So, you know, that was a good place to pick from. Because he obviously wasn't going to play there.
That's a dream situation. Quan Alexander, Greenlaw, and then he's passing my mind right now, the young guy that was amazing.
Fred Warner is the middle linebacker.
Fred Warner. Yeah, there you go. But, yeah, like I said, I mean, as a whole, that's a little bit of, in my opinion, Joe Judge's blueprint already. And just to talk about, you know, where he's been involving his, you know, roles on teams, that Patriots special teams has always been great. Every single time, it's always been great. Every year, especially this year.
Yeah.
It was very good. And 2018, another very good Super Bowl team. I mean, when they went to the Super Bowl to play the Rams, they pinned the Rams deep in its own territory in two of the three drives in their own 10-yard line to start the game.
What a lot of people don't understand, Rob, is that special teams is one-third of the game.
Yeah, I know. And special teams is such a big deal. That's why, you know, when he was going and got hired, so many people, you know, the whole thing with the Chiefs offensive coordinator, you know, take it as you will. They said that Joe Judge shouldn't have got the job. That he didn't have the credentials. Again, five championships.
I disagree with that. I think that Joe Judge was the right guy for the job. And he hasn't even coached. Because when you're the special teams coach, you deal with every player on the team.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just deal on one side of the ball. You deal with every guy. And then when you deal with the guys that are dressed. So sometimes you don't know until an hour before the game, an hour and a half before the game, who is going to line up where.
Yep. And you could tell in his press conference he was saying that. And, you know, just a little example to throw in here, someone like Isaiah Simmons, it kind of seems like that's what he's going to do with everyone. Every player on the field, it's going to be like, look, this week I'm going to have you at free safety, but I'm also going to blitz you on the outside. Just we only know that. And it's something that with Pat Shurmur and Betcher, it was every week. We knew where everybody was lining up, and so did the other team. We knew the plays that were going to run, and so did the other team. With Joe Judge, I mean, this is the type of guy that is a stupid example, but when you play fantasy football, it's going to be hard to start a certain guy because he might disappear one game and get 200 yards the next. But I like
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I like it.
I don't think the Giants have the running back depth to do what the Patriots did, but they only have one guy, the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I do Gallman. I do like Gallman. But we'll see. I don't know. You know, but it's one of those things that, you know, obviously we spent the most time on Joe Judge here. He is our new head coach. And I do believe his name does speak what he will be. I believe he'll be the judge, man. He's no bullshit. And he's straight up. You know, if you don't do your job, I don't care if you're getting paid $70 million over 5 years or $7 million over, you know, four. Whatever you may be, it doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, what your color is, how big you are, how small you are. If you outperform the guy ahead of you, you're going to start. And I love that.
Here's the Belichick Saban mantra when it comes to coaching, when it comes to players. Just give me a guy who could do what I need him to do when I need him to do it.
Yep.
I don't care if every play, you know, you pancake a guy. I don't care, you know, or you're a superstar. I don't care if you're Odell Beckham Jr. and you make all these spectacular plays. Can you do it when I need you to do it?
Yep. Look at Matthew Slater. Look at what he just did with Matthew
Slater.
Exactly. And he just got paid to be a special teamer. I mean, it's an amazing
career.
Eight-time
Pro Bowler.
Yeah, and he just got paid. I mean, I wanted him so bad, but I knew the Patriots would get him back. But
no,
it's just,
see, that's what good teams do, Rob. They value guys on special teams.
Yep.
And that's why I know we're getting a little off topic. My number one priority in free agency is Corey Littleton.
Okay. Yeah,
because he's the quarterback of the defense with the Rams, and he is the captain of their special teams.
Okay.
You need a guy like that, a guy that doesn't come off the field.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, like I said,
it's going to cost you, but, you know, he's worth it.
I agree. I mean, it's one of those things that I genuinely feel that for the first time in a long time, we're going to see a Giants team because of Joe Judge on the topic of him. That is going to be something we've never seen before or haven't in a long time. And I think it's something that needs to be done so badly. And I'm so excited to see it. You know, just 2 years, you know, I think I was on your first podcast 2 years ago and we were talking about going in the draft before we got Daniel Jones and before even that draft in the Baker Mayfield, I think was the first time I was with you. And you know that I've been saying, how long have I been saying this? I like the young guys that prove themselves. I like the modern style of the NFL. I like the speed. I've been saying that for a long time and you know that. And I think Joe Judge will bring that. I really do. The Shermer couldn't do it.
I like the big guys. And I was promised big guys when Dave Gettleman walked through the door, and I haven't seen them yet.
Nope.
I saw Will Hernandez.
I was about to say, that's about it. And, you know, they sold cut a big
George Asafo Ajayi. They just cut him. He failed his physical.
I saw that.
I think there's a little more to that than just him failing a physical. I just think he's too green. And they probably said, you know, this guy's not going to make the team, so let's just get rid of him now.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, to kind of switch it over on the subject of where we're going to go on the offense, where we're going to get, not really so much the defense, but where's the team's going to be as a whole, you got to start with who's going to be running that side of the ball. Yeah. And that's Jason Garrett. And, you know, the thing with – I personally, and a lot of people hate it, a lot of people love it. I'll tell you, and then you could tell me, I absolutely loved this hire. It was amazing. How do you feel about it?
I think it serves two purposes. One, it makes the Giants better. It makes the Cowboys worse.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big thing I liked about it. And, you know, the thing that all these Cowboys fans hated Jason Garrett. And look, to me, that guy did.
I mean, to them, it's all about winning.
Right.
And you know, he won enough games, just didn't win in the playoffs. That's all.
Yeah. But, you know, how much of that's his fault? How much of it? Because I can tell you that Pat Shurmur is a lot of our reason why we sucked. But, you know, for Jason Garrett, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think that he ran a damn good offense, if you look at the stats.
He did. I mean, he was the head coach for 9 years on a team where the owner used to change coaches like he changed his socks.
Yep.
So he's a smart guy. He's a Princeton guy. His father was a coach. I believe his father was a coach at Princeton.
I believe so.
You can look that up if you want. And his brother's a coach. So, you know, he comes from coaches. Now, head coaching styles in the NFL are different. You know? And Alice, you're really kind of handcuffed. I'm sure that he was given players he didn't want. You know, I remember way back when Terrell Owens was signed by the Cowboys. And that's why Bill Parcells left. Mm-hmm. I never wanted this guy. I don't want this guy.
Yeah.
You brought me on the plane, Jerry Jones, and you told me I would run my own show, and then you saddled me with this guy.
Yeah, that's the last thing. I mean,
so Garrett's not that kind of a personality where he's going to fight back. He's just going to say, all right, whoever you give me, I'm going to make, you know.
Yeah, I remember when
lemons, I'll make lemonade, you know?
I mean, I remember he was the intern for them in 2010, and then after he took on, his overall record with the Cowboys as a head coach is positive at 85-67, 2-3 in the postseason, and he won the NFC in 2014, 2016, and 2018, as well as Coach of the Year in 2016. So he has his trophies. He has his credentials. My biggest negative behind this hire is this is what's going to happen is say our offense goes from, you know, bottom half of the league to being one of the better ones, he's only going to be our offensive coordinator for 1 year.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's going to go get hired.
This is a springboard to his next job.
Yep.
But that's fine. I'll take it. That's fine.
You know, it is what it is. But
and, you know, Jerry Schaplinski will take over.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to get to him. But, you know, with Jason Garrett, like I said, my thing is I've always made fun of him. I'm a Giants fan. I'm a Giants fanatic. You know, I've always called him the clapper. He's kind of always like Eli Manning, a little spacey in his own way. But one thing that I've always hated about Jason Garrett as a rival team fan is he got it done. And he got it done against us every single time. And he did it in ways that were he just knows how to draw up a play really well. And he knows how to involve guys like, example, Jason Witten, right, better than most coaches in the NFL. I mean, everything that he would run, even if it was a whack-ass play that just made no sense, he would find a way to make it look seamless all the time. It was the most frustrating thing to watch.
Yeah.
Unreal. So I love it. And I think he's going to be a right-hand man to Joe Judge and Gettleman. And like I said, I don't know. I mean, he's been with us. He was a backup quarterback with us. I know he doesn't hate the Giants. I'm sure he learned too. But my thing
he's from the area.
Yeah, true.
He's a Giant. Believe me, he wants to be here. I don't think he would have taken another job. He could afford to take a year off. I think this was an opportunity for him. Pat Shurmur was gone. You know, he couldn't coexist with Pat Shurmur. I mean, they're too much alike.
Very. Oh, God. Yeah, that was.
Coach like Judge, and you get a guy like Jason Garrett running the offense. That's one less thing that Judge really has to worry about.
I think, yeah. I mean, just to completely echo that, I think Jason Garrett was the guy. When I saw that notification pop up on my phone, I remember I was playing Call of Duty, and I remember I saw it pop up because I heard about this. I guess for some reason I wasn't one of the first ones. I was one of the last ones, so people knew about it. I heard about it, and the first thing I said out loud, I remember I was like, wow, the Giants finally did something right. Like, I was very happy with this hire from the get-go. And, you know, Cowboys fans are laughing at us, but ultimately, I mean, I have a good friend of mine that is a Cowboys fan, and he's very realistic, and I was like, look, I know you probably think this is hilarious. He was like, no, I'm terrified of it. Like, I know what he can do with an offense, and I know who you have on offense. People forget how good our offense can be, and look what
This will be a run-first offense. And, you know, there's two problems I have with that. It's the durability of Barkley and the offensive line. So this is why I think when going into the draft and you have that fourth overall pick, there's going to be a lot of temptation there. But you have to take an offensive lineman.
Andrew Thomas?
It's anyone. Any one of those four guys I will gladly take. Actually, three. Yeah. So it'll be Thomas, Becton, or Wirfs. I would take any one of those three guys. You will never go wrong by taking a 6'7", 320-pound guy ever in the NFL. Because even if they stand still, the defensive ends still have to run around
them. Yeah, I mean, that's a brick wall, but, you know.
It's like that commercial when they put the walrus in the goal. In the hockey.
I mean, that's, you know, the thing is, me and John have always – John is a lot more I guess my best way of putting it is smart with these things than I am. My thing is, I know that the smart pick is the offensive lineman. I'm going to lose my shit if we don't draft Isaiah Simmons.
It's not a sexy we'll pick. See. But, you know, if you remember way back when, probably before you were born, when Ernie, of course, he took two Notre Dame linemen in the same draft. Two tackles, Mike Rosenthal and Luke Pettigrew. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, what the hell are we going to do with these guys? Go to the Super Bowl. How about that?
Yeah. I mean,
that's what he did.
We'll see, man.
He took two tackles. He said, I love these two guys. And I don't even know if the scouting trip – it was an easy scouting trip. He went there and said, I like these two guys, and that's it. And they drafted him. Luke Pettigrew was a first rounder. And they took the Giants to the Super Bowl. They lost the Super Bowl, but they took them. That's how you do it. And Becton, to me, when I look at him, people think I'm crazy. He's not as athletic. Well, maybe he could be athletic. Orlando Pace.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at.
The arm size.
Maybe not as polished as Pace, but I think he's more athletic and maybe stronger. So that's
–
Yeah,
the arm length is crazy, too. Dude's wingspan is ridiculous.
He's just going to scare me. You just put Barkley behind him, and you could Ezekiel Elliott him to death behind this guy. And that's a way to go. You know, the run sets up the pass still in this league. Nothing's really changed. If you do it right, the run sets up the pass.
I don't think he should be a fourth overall pick, though. Becton shouldn't go for it.
Well, here's the other portion of that. When they get to number four, they're going to have a lot of options. You know, and teams will be trying to trade up now. If they could flip with Miami, maybe they'll get some extra picks. Then Miami's fifth. So if they flip with Miami, then they'll take that guy at five. Miami's probably going to want Tua, or maybe even Justin Herbert at four.
Yeah, I heard they like Herbert. I mean, they want Herbert, but it's not going to happen.
Herbert is the sleeper of this draft, believe it or not. He's not a sleeper, but he's the sleeper of this draft because everyone's forgetting about him because Joe Burrow came out of nowhere. And Jake Fromm is going to be up there also. And Tua is healthy.
So Tua, just, to me, it's not the topic, but I don't like Tua at all. He's going to be a bust, calling it right now. Tua's a bust.
Let him bust somewhere else.
He's going to bust. I'm telling you, he's going to bust. We'll find out. But to me, like I said, and to you as well, and I know this has always been you, defenses win championships. They always have. That's the biggest piece. You're right. But our guy that we decided to bring in, a very familiar face to Joe Judge, Patrick Graham. He was with the Dolphins last year, and he's kind of been all around, but he was with the Patriots, like I just said, and he was a part of a lot of Super Bowls and a lot of conference titles. Right. So he was with Judge for 8 years, and he had the New England defense really high up, first in takeaways and fourth in sacks in those years. Those are good numbers.
He went to Miami and, didn't work out too well. He didn't have anybody on it. They traded Minka Fitzpatrick. I mean, they didn't do him any favors. Put it to you that way.
Yeah, I don't blame him for that. But this was a hire that, the defensive coordinators, there was a few. I mean, as a whole, he kind of was amongst the bigger names, if you know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And, just like Jason Garrett, I think we got, top three best guys, and I'll call it, quote, free.
Well, here's a little tidbit for the Graham hiring. I think that he was in the mix for some other jobs. And the Giants put a little nugget out there. He's now the assistant head coach.
Oh.
Yeah, they hired him as an assistant head coach, defensive coordinator.
I had no idea about that.
There's no other reason why they would have done that except for to lure him from Miami. I mean, nobody wants to leave Miami. I mean,
oh, of course not.
You've been there a million times, Robbie, right?
I live here. I live in Orlando.
Right. Yeah, so why would you want to leave Miami? You're the defensive coordinator, and Brian Flores is also a good friend. He's not going to fire you.
No income tax.
Right.
No property tax. So why would you want
to go to East Rutherford, New Jersey, unless, you've got to add a little incentive. So that was it, the assistant head coach job.
Wow. I mean, that's – you guys heard it here.
I'm breaking news.
I had no idea. So, like I said, I might have a big Twitter account, but there's a lot of things I miss. So that's why I love John. That's my guy. I had no idea. So good to know.
When he was hired, we were like, why would you? He already had a job. He was the defensive coordinator in Miami. They got 3,000 draft picks and just as much money as the Giants to spend in free agency.
I know. Yeah, that would be hard to leave.
Defense back up.
That would be hard to leave. Jeez. Yeah. I mean, when you put it like that, that would be hard to leave. Good God. Wow.
But I'm glad they were able to get him. He's a See, this is the thing. He's a familiar face for Judge. And, Garrett is not. Garrett is somebody he's never really dealt with. But Garrett did work with Nick Saban. And, you call. When you look to hire, you look for references. So, you call Nick Saban. Here's my candidates. And he's like, "Well, you got Jason Garrett staring you in the face. What are you waiting for?"
Yeah. No, I hear you. I mean, it's one of those things that I think just by going over the three big. I mean, I'd call these the big three. Obviously, that the biggest thing you always hear about is defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, head coach. Yeah. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. So I think I've been bamboozled by this team many times. I like the staff. I like those big three. We'll see how it meshes. I don't know. We'll see. That's the only thing I can say.
I think it's going to work very well. I think that, Judge, he's got the mentality. Here's where Sherman made the mistake. Taking on too much responsibility and not delegating to Mike Shula, who was kind of a toothless offensive coordinator, and then trusting James Betcher, who busted here.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a very – it looked like a great hire when he did it. But it didn't work out that way, did it?
Nope, not in the slightest. He's gone, thank God.
And he didn't do much to correct it.
No, not at all. not even a little bit. So, I mean, we'll see, but, you know, and I'm trying to keep it flowing, you know, but there is obviously that. No, I'm not saying it towards you. I'm just saying I'm moving on to the next guy here. But, you know, so far we've covered Joe Judge, Jason Garrett, Patrick Graham. And as you guys have heard, we got great insight from John. Hopefully, you know, we'll get a little bit more. And this is one guy that I really like. I'm happy to have here. I'm glad he's back. I'm going to play a little game with John here. I don't want to botch this. So special teams coach, Thomas, finish it.
McGee.
There you go. Yay. All right. I didn't want to botch that.
There's several reasons why he's back. One, Gettleman loves him. And Joe Judge is a special teams coach, and they all know each other. And he knows that Thomas is a great coach, a great special team coach.
Yeah, I mean, look at Aldrick Rosas. He was incredible. Not really last year.
Giants
but...
kind of leaned towards him a little bit because if you don't know it, he's being treated for cancer, or was being treated for cancer.
And to move him,
I think he's on his way. If not, if he hasn't, but he was working through the whole time. Now you don't really like to move a guy away from his doctors. Another thing.
No, of course not. I mean, not if you have a heart.
That's not the reason why they rehired him, but that's a positive thing. It's a good part of the story. But McGahee is a great special teams coach.
Yeah, I mean, our special teams has been the one lone bright spot. I mean, we have a lot of really good gunners that get down there and down it at the one, or, you know, do that crazy thing where they jump into the end zone before they hit the ground and throw it back. Like, our special teams has always been pretty good under him. Really good, actually, under him. I think we were top five, maybe top eight.
Very good.
In the last 2 years. And, you know, we saw the emergence
punting,
of Aldrick.
Kicking.
Riley Dixon got his contract extension. That was a great trade for seventh. So it's looked good. I mean, under him, it's looked really good. So, I mean, that's really all I got to say on him. He's been good to have, and I'm happy he's still here.
What's going on, guys? Thank you so much for the support. This is just something I want to say real quick. It's nothing anyone has to do, nor would I force anyone, obviously, to do it. But if you enjoy my Twitter or if you enjoy the podcast, Anchor does allow for a monthly Patreon support of as low as 99 cents to up to whatever you want to do. If you do feel, you know, that you would like to do that, understand that it means the world. If you don't, just thank you so much for listening and being a part of it. It's called listener support. And like I said, I would never ask for anything, but I wanted to put that out there, and it means the world. So thank you guys and enjoy the show.
I'm going to play a game with you again. Good. Quarterbacks coach, Jerry.
Shiplinski.
Shiplinski.
See, you're from Florida. You're not from the Midwest or the Northeast where there's a lot of Polish people of Polish descent. Shiplinski.
Man, you know, this is I have some information on this guy, but before we even recorded, John was telling me how much he likes him, so I'm gonna let him take this one away.
Yeah, he's very staid. You know, he's kind of a guru. If you read his bio, I don't want to go through the whole thing. He's kind of like a doctor almost. And he had Baker Mayfield. I mean, Baker Mayfield's not the easiest student to have. But now he's got a student, the student of all students in Daniel Jones, who all Daniel Jones does is study.
That's my guy.
That's his teacher. I think this is going to work out well. You know, Mike Shula was good for Daniel Jones. It's always Pat Shurmur. But I think that Jason Garrett, Jerry Shiplinski duo is going to be just as good, maybe even better.
Yeah, I mean, look at how much experience and championships we have on this team. Another guy, Jerry, he has, you know, he's been a part of three Super Bowl winning teams again. Just like that. Another one, because he was with New England. And, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, he worked with Tom Brady. You can't accredit him for Tom Brady. And I'm not.
Well,
but
Tom Brady listened to it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Him and Alex Guerrero.
So, I mean, combined, yes, a few of them were on the same team. But that's a lot of Super Bowls and a lot of championship mentality. And that's something we don't usually get. And I love seeing that. That's three guys so far that have been a part of Super Bowls. Basically, maybe even four, if I'm looking at this right. Four. Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's pretty good. You know, I can't complain. And then you got Jason Garrett. He didn't win a Super Bowl. But he –
Sure. When he was a backup quarterback to Troy Aikman.
Oh, yeah, he was a backup. Yeah, yeah. So he's won one too. But I'm saying as a coach, he's another one that he's got a lot of postseason wins for the most part. Some losses too, but now the next two guys are two guys that I would say, you know, like I said, except for the big three, this guy and the next one are probably my favorite hires that didn't get as much hype as the other one. And I'm going to start that off with the offensive line. Mark Colombo. I love this hire. I absolutely love this hire. He was an offensive lineman with the Cowboys. Right.
He's walked the walk.
Yeah, he walked the walk, and now he's talking the talk, man. I mean, you look at Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, it's right there. You know, everyone, you guys watch it, you know. Ezekiel Elliott, the offensive line for the Cowboys, we all know this, has always been, for the last couple of years, last 4 or 5 years, been the epitome of the best offensive line in the league. And this guy right here, he was the assistant offensive line coach in 2016, and then he took over. He's just been amazing. I mean, look at who he's worked with. Ezekiel Elliott, Frederick, Zach Martin, Doug Free, Tyrone Smith, all these guys that you can't – I mean, yes, they were good when they came out, but you got a guy like this that's teaching
them. They're all first-round picks.
Yeah, I mean, but think about it. You got a guy that we just hired that is teaching things to the best offensive lineman in the league. What does that
tell you? That's the key, Rob, the teaching aspect. Joe Judge wants coaches that just don't coach and strategize. They want teachers.
Yep, that's what he said.
Colombo is one of those guys. And, you know, so is Garrett. So every guy we mentioned here, you know, they teach.
Yep.
You know? You're never too old to learn.
It's a blueprint. And that's what I've noticed with Joe Judge, and obviously you have too, is he didn't bullshit. I mean, the guys that he's hiring are sticking to what he said he wanted. Truly. Go down the list. But Mark Colombo, man, like I said, he's young. I don't want to exactly say his age because I forgot to write that down, but he's no older than 36, I believe.
No, he's playing career ended a while ago, but, you know, he's still a young guy.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw this hire, anytime you get – I mean, literally this guy touched gold with that offensive line, and now he's bringing it over here, and he knows Jason Garrett very well. That's another thing right there. I mean, look at the nucleus of this team. I remember I said that a long time ago in an episode, and you liked it. It said something about a nucleus. Look at the nucleus of this coaching staff. They either all know each other, worked against each other, or worked with each other and won championships and won games. And just kind of look at it.
Or come from the same coaching tree at some point.
Yep. And you know, now that we're doing this episode, I didn't really realize it like that. But now that I'm breaking it down and look at it, it really has. It's all come from the same freaking apple, the same tree. They've all fallen off the same tree. I love it. That's awesome. I mean, do you have anything to add with him?
Colombo? No, I'm just eager to see what he can do. I mean, you know, they've got to give him a little bit more to work with, but yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, the other guy as well, going down the list here, and like I said, I'm mentioning the guys that, you know, I know people want to hear about, and this is another one that I was hyped to grab. I said that Colombo and this guy were my two tops for the most part, and that's Burton Burns, running back coach. Amazing hire. I mean, literally came out of nowhere. This was the last guy I expected. I didn't even think of his name. This guy literally is a guru, just like you said about Jerry as a running back coach. He has two guys that received a Heisman, three that have been considered for it. He worked with Mark Ingram, who got it. He worked with Trent Richardson, who was a finalist, and Derrick Henry, who won it. I mean, look at those names.
And then also had Bo Scarborough, who had a couple of big games there.
Yeah. And he didn't work with Josh Jacobs, right? Or was he? No.
I don't know if he was there for that point, but, you know, he's the kind of guy, like I said, they need to get him more to work with. They need to get him a second back. And I think they're working on that. You know, if you want Javorius Buck Allen back, he's got some talent. Goldman has a little talent. It just can't be a one-man show back there.
Yeah, I mean, name a time that Alabama's had a bad running back group, and he's been there for a long time.
Oh, I mean, that's a great place. So, like you just said, Heisman Trophy winners coming out of there. You know, Josh Jacobs, I didn't even mention him.
Yeah, I mean, most coaches haven't even, you know, running back coaches have not coached a Heisman-winning running back because it's rare. This dude has two winners, three total. Right. That's amazing. And look at how many I reiterate how many championships this dude has.
Yeah,
he has a whole hand of rings. There's a picture that I posted to him. I think he has six or something, same five. I don't know, where he posted a picture of his rings on, and it was like the dopest picture I've ever seen. Yeah. I was like, yep, that's my guy. When I saw that. So Burton Burns, Mark Colombo, I'd say those two are my, I'm not going to call them under the radar, but they didn't get as much hype as the rest of the guys. Those two are going to be guys that are huge.
And a guy that, you know, of course, the Tyke Tolbert is back as wide receivers coach. I really like him.
Yeah.
It was a really good to retain him. He's a good guy and he's a very good coach. And, you know, they brought in Freddie Kitchens to coach the tight ends.
Yep.
And he's a guy that goes back with Joe Judge when they both were starting out in the coaching field.
Yep. It's crazy. They're all connected somehow, some way. It's insane. It's amazing.
You know, Kitchens wasn't head coach. He was thrown into a very bad situation in Cleveland. And, you know, he was pretty much destined to fail. And, you know, now he's back being an assistant, which is what he's really good at. And the Giants are going to benefit. You know, the tight end group that they have, I know Red Ellison just retired. But, you know, they have Caden Smith. And if Evan Ingram could stay healthy, but they'll need a third guy there. And mm-hmm. I think in the draft, this one guy, a player from Dayton called Adam Trautman.
I've heard that name. I don't know a lot about him, but I've heard that name.
He's a big guy. He's not quite as athletic as Gronk, but he's just as big. And if you watch his highlights, you're like, boy, the Giants could really use this guy. He's like 6'7", like 250, 260 pounds. He's a bruiser, and he gets open. Jeez. And he's going to end up going to a team that uses tight ends very well. And he's going to end up going to like Pittsburgh or someplace. And people are going to say, why didn't we draft this guy? You know, every year you see that. You say, why is he on this team? How did they get this guy?
Yeah, I'll never forget. Rest in peace, freaking Miles Jack. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
That was the biggest frustration I think I've ever – out of all the things I've dealt with as being a Giants fan, I think when we passed on Miles Jack, that really did it for me. That set me off. I remember that. Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah, Jack was just to clear it up, Jack was recovering from knee surgery.
It don't matter. I mean, look at Jalen Smith.
He was kind of not – 100% cleared by the time he was drafted.
Jalen Smith too, though. I mean, if you got a risk, but
if you want to take the gamble, but most teams don't.
I would. It should make me
just
GM.
Like Todd Gurley. He was the 9th pick of the draft, right?
Oh yeah, that was yeah. Yeah.
Or the 10th pick of the draft, or whatever. He was drafted, I think, right before Beckham. But still, he should have been the first pick in the draft. When you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That Ohio. Was a stacked class, though.
I'm sorry. Yeah. We're getting off topic again.
I know. That's all I was about to catch us. I was like, this is what happens. Me and you just talk, and it happens. But we're, you know what? We're working somewhere in the realm of
because you
relevance.
Have the passion. When I was a younger man, I had the passion too.
Yeah, I mean,
and now I just can't get too excited. But I am excited about several of our defensive coaches. So I'll let you go through those.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. We'll find out. But this is another guy that and I'm going to kind of brush over Freddie Kitchens just real quick. I wanted to say something on him. And I, especially to you, I want you to hear it because you know how big I was on Baker Mayfield. I'm just going to throw this out there. It's a little nugget. I like Freddie Kitchens a lot. I think he's a great coach, terrible head coach. I'm excited for where he's at. But last year was not Baker Mayfield's fault. I blame a lot of that on Freddie Kitchens' system. Just throw that out there. I have to clear the air because, yes, I still love Baker Mayfield. So I think he's a great coach to have, but I think he's a really bad head coach, as you said. Not good.
Not everybody's cut out for it. I mean, yeah, you need a specific skill set. And, you know, it appeared that he had it. But, you know, there was too much going on at Cleveland. There was just too many personalities there.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of personalities, and you really like this guy, and again, another one before the show that you caught me. I almost forgot to have him in here. You really, really do like our outside linebackers coach, yes. Brett Bielema. Tell me why you like him so much.
Well, first of all, he's another guy that's been around for a long time. He's been a head coach at two major college programs, Wisconsin and Arkansas.
Yep.
He comes from New England. If Bill Belichick hires you, you know you got something.
Yep.
He's just another guy who's another voice in the room, another mature voice, another guy who's been through the mill, who understands what it's like to be a head coach for Joe Judge to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't matter what job you have. You know, you're in the room. You're in the coaching room. You know, when they're going through their game plan. So even if you're the linebackers coach, you could add you know, to some of the other aspects of the game. And you'll see that. You'll see Jason Garrett talk about defense. You'll see, and special teams. You'll see a guy like Brett Bielema do the same. And Freddie Kitchens. They'll lend their experience.
He's coached James White, J.J. Watt, Russell Wilson, Joe Thomas. I mean, I see why you're feeling this guy so much. And again, this is really something. I'm going to put this in the notes of the episode. All these coaching staffs are really – all these guys are from the same tree. Another one, New England, like you said. Right. It's crazy. I realized it, but I didn't realize it like this until I really broke this down. They really – he wasn't kidding when he said he wanted familiarity with teachers. That's great. Great to see. Interesting. Well, like I said, that's – I think that if I had to pick somebody based off what I heard from him, Brett Bielema was your guy. You really seem to like him.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple of guys. Jerome Henderson's another guy.
Yeah, and he's another one that's there, and we're getting here to the end of it pretty close. Right. But there's a guy that I want to two guys I want to brush over real quick. I don't really have a lot of information on the guy I'm about to mention. I just want to put it out there that I'm really excited for him. Really young guy, straight out of Saquon Barkley's alum, Sean Spencer. They nicknamed him Coach Chaos. Everyone seems to be really excited about this one, and Penn State fans and Penn State players were pissed that he was gone.
Right,
he looks he's great.
He's got the passion, and you know he's going to come in. He's going to be one of those guys who doesn't really have the connections, but they took him based on his talent and and the upside.
Yeah, he's another young, you know, I mean, and this is nothing against anything other, just the young guys. It's the NFL's changing a little bit, and you know, it's kind of more the young guys are more rah rah, and he's a rah rah coach, and I feel like we need that on the D line.
Always.
I feel like, yeah, but I feel like with the guys we have on the D line, especially Dalvin Tomlinson, none of them are like hype, like I just said, rah rah guys. I feel like
defensive line coaches, if you remember the recent Super Bowls, the Giants had a guy by the name of Mike Waffle, with the defensive line coach. And who was crazier than Mike Waffle?
Nobody.
And they had Robert Nunn, who was another guy, very passionate coach.
It's because it's a nasty position. You know what I mean? You need to be off your ass to want to do that play after play. So
you've got there's no second gear. You're in top gear every time.
And that's where we've been falling off, and that's where I'm hoping he can help. But speaking of someone that has helped year after year after year, and my guy is, I remember we spoke about it on your show a while back. You asked me how I felt about him, and I said I really liked him because I've been to a lot of Auburn games. Our fifth round pick last year was Darius Slayton. We saw how that worked out, and I credit a lot of our receiver success, yes, including Odell Beckham, to Tyke Tolbert. Tyke Tolbert is a hell of a wide receiver coach, hell of a person. Everyone loves him, just like our health. I forget this guy's name, but he's been there for like 20 years. Everyone loves him. He's been around the team. I can't
Ronnie Barnes, Dr. Barnes.
Dr. Burns.
Tyke Tolbert been around for more than 20 years, maybe 30. Yeah.
And Tyke, I feel like it's a lot of the same, you know, big name credit from all around the team. He's been there for a couple of years now. And I mean, look at the success he's had. I don't blame a lot of our offensive problems on him. I blame a lot of that on Eli. he has been great. Our wide receivers really have never in under his staff, under his, you know, direction been bad.
We
just haven't used them right. Sterling Shepard, Odell Beckham, Evan Engram, Darius Slayton, list goes on, even Cody Latimer. You know, Benny Fowler goes on and on. They
good
all,
players.
I mean, he made Cody Latimer look like Odell with that one-handed back shoulder catch in the end zone. You can't, you know, you got to learn from someone. And I think it's been him.
Well, I'm glad he's back. I mean, that's the one guy, him and McGahee, I'm glad they brought them back.
Mm-hmm. Good. I mean, it shows that they're moving in the right direction, or at least our head coach is. And you mentioned him. But like I said, to wrap up, Tyke Tolbert, great bringing him back. But you mentioned him. He's actually, I have another guy on here. I'll probably just mention his name, but I know this is a big guy to you. When I first saw this hire in Jerome Henderson, I liked this hire. I didn't know as much about it as you did. I know he's with the Falcons and, you know, a bunch of craziness. Defensive passing game coordinator and the secondary coach.
Yeah.
Now, when I first saw that, I got scared. Because they have been Swiss cheese on defense.
Who's that? The Falcons?
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't think that matters much. He didn't really have a lot to work with.
And yeah, and you know, but then I started reading up on him a little bit, and it kind of says the same thing. You know, he had a young defense. They ranked top five in interceptions, returned three touchdowns, and they ranked third in the NFL for return yards per interception. So yeah. I guess it's more than meets the eye. It's just when I first heard that and I thought of the Falcons, I was like, ugh, oh no.
Well, he's another guy that's got a lot of experience. He's a teacher. They have a very young secondary. I know Antoine Bethea is signed for this year. I don't know if he's going to make it. Right now, he's made it through all the cuts.
Sure, hope he doesn't.
I wouldn't get rid of him until I found somebody else. That's for sure. He led the team in tackles last year.
I know. Yeah, true.
And you know, it's the way you utilize the guy too. It's we'll see what Henderson does. I think that the teaching aspect, they're going to need the Sam Beals and the DeAndre Bakers to have somebody sit down with them and understand. You know, even a guy like Corey Ballantyne. You know, a very raw talent like him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, some of the other guys too. You know, the kid from Penn State, was it Grant Haley?
Yeah, Grant Haley.
Could learn. I mean, he could teach these guys a lot. I mean, there's talent there. There's some good talent there.
And you guys see, I mean, if you've made it this far, first off, I appreciate it. Second off, you see. I mean, John knows what he's talking about. He has a lot more of years under his belt as far as knowing who a lot of these guys are. That's not an age joke. I'm just telling you, a lot more years under your belt. And, you know, John's made an incredible career out of himself. And a lot of it is because he knows a lot about a lot of this deep stuff. And I'm sure he'll know. This is the last name I'm going to mention. It was kind of an honorable mention. Derek Dooley. I'm mentioning him. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a big piece of our team. He's kind of an assistant. But I like his background. Mizzou, he was with – he had a good coaching staff with him. Am I going to sound stupid? Was he with Drew Locke?
Yes, he was his quarterback.
Okay, so he was with Drew Locke. I didn't want to sound stupid for a second. I was having a brain fart. But yeah, so he was with Drew Locke.
But you're leaving out the biggest part.
Running
up to Derek Dooley. His father was Vince Dooley, who was the University of Georgia head coach for a long time.
You guys see what I'm talking about? I didn't even know that. No idea.
And, in the 80s and the 70s or whatever. He comes from competition. He comes to Georgia's a big school, big program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he actually ended up, he was coaching at Georgia. He was a graduate assistant there. Then he was at LSU, and he ended up with the Dolphins, with the... our friend Nick Saban. So, you know, there's a lot of commonality there.
Mm-hmm.
He also was Cowboys wide receiver coach under Jason Garrett.
There you go. See, like I said, reiterate, you guys see what I'm talking about. So, to kind of wrap it up,
I got one more guy. Names.
Yeah, run it. Go ahead.
One more guy.
Do your thing.
There's a guy they hired that nobody really talks about. And his name is Jody Wright. Do you have Jody Wright down there?
No, he's not on my list. No.
Okay. Jody Wright has got some low-level job with the Giants. I think it's...
defensive assistant. I see him right here.
Defensive assistant. He's one of the guys that doesn't really have a formal unit to deal with. But he's one of those coaches that comes in. He's going to have a lot more responsibility than people think. He was Nick Saban's director of player personnel in Alabama.
Damn. Yeah, that's big.
He was a head coach or assistant head coach, and he worked with the offensive line at UAB. And then he worked with the Browns, I think, last year. But he's the kind of guy who's one of those whisperers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing here that
a lot of knowledge in that coaching staff, Rob, there's a lot there.
Yeah, he worked with Jordan Howard. I didn't even realize that, UAB. And he set school records on touchdowns, rushing yards, receiving.
So running back. UAB at the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's a lot on him here. I had to look him up.
But he's one of those guys who bring in. Nobody really knows who he is. But, you know, Joe Judge will be leaning on him too.
Wow. I mean, there you guys have it. I'm not going to lie to you. I knew that we hired him, knew nothing about him, and I sure as hell didn't know what you just told me. So, and I'm sure not very many do either. That's huge. And like you just said, I mean, to kind of put it all together, I guess, in a summary, this staff is loaded, like you just said, with knowledge, teaching ability. It's like we got a bunch of professors. This staff is chock full of it.
I have one question before we go up. Why is Tom Quinn still here?
Why is who still here?
Tom Quinn.
I can't answer that because I feel the same way.
Well, he's got Super Bowl rings. I mean, you know, we know that.
He's been here for 15 years, man. 15 years.
He's his assistant to McGahee, who was, at one time was his assistant.
I think he's another one of those guys that was like Zach Biasi, that just had a pull somewhere. He had a picture of somebody's wife. And, until he's ready to retire.
I don't know why he's still here.
He has a picture of one of the Mars wives. And
oh, my God, that's terrible. I remember, you know, he's like a Marine. You know, I've talked to him a couple of times, Tom Quinn. He's a nice guy. And I think that's why they kept him. I mean, you know, when Coughlin left, they were like, what do we do with this guy? You know, we don't want to fire him because no one else will probably hire him. And they didn't.
I'm telling you what, he's got a picture of somebody's wife. I'm telling you, it's got it.
But he's out of harm's way, so he's not really.
He's an assistant special teams coach.
I think his job is to count the players on the field so they don't get 12 men or 10 men.
That's what I'm about to say. I mean, shout out.
It's not an easy job, by the way.
I'm not laughing at the job. I'm just laughing at the fact that, I mean, it's no lie when you say that literally it's kind of like he's just here because he's here. It's like the get back coach. You know what I mean? That pushes the coach off the field. That's kind of Tom Quinn. Interesting. That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, there was so many mistakes and big plays, you know, the Philadelphia miracle at the Meadowlands and all that other stuff. I mean,
Deshaun Jackson, RIP.
I was in the press box for that. And that was a terrible day. Terrible day.
I bet. I mean, I don't even want to talk about that. I'm thinking positive. So, like I said, amazing coaching staff. Now, don't get me wrong. We could look back in an archive a year from now and sound stupid. It doesn't matter until you see it on the field, like anybody else and like anything else. But if somebody was going to give you guys the knowledge on a lot of these guys that I didn't have, it's John. So, like I said, John, I really appreciate you being here. It's amazing that I was able to bring you on, you know, after learning so much from you. And you'll definitely be back. And I know you'll have quite good reviews from the followers. And if you guys want to go find John on Instagram, Twitter, where can they find you, John?
It's John_Fenley.
So if you want to go find him, tell him why you're there and, you know, give him a little review on the podcast. But like I said, John, thank you for being here. A good friend of mine. And I hope you guys are as excited as we are about this coaching staff and this team going forward. And hopefully we don't look stupid. I a lot of times make myself look stupid. I don't mean to, but it happens. So hopefully that doesn't happen here. But that's pretty much it, man. Episode 5, we are going over the coaching staff again with John Fenley. Thank you guys for being here. And I'm looking forward to episode 6 coming soon. Stay tuned. Thank you for the support. Thank you for listening. And of course, be safe with this coronavirus. I'll talk to you guys soon.